The Lord is good.
And all the time.
Amen. I'm happy to see many generations of leaders. it's good to see also the new leadership in place. I don't know, can they stand? Yes. All the new leaders, let me see.
Malisa has taken some people out. So, the one from the field.
Amen. May the Lord use you mightily. May the Lord bless you. And just know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Amen. And I'm praying for you, and I know that God will use you mightily. You can sit. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you. We give you glory. We honor your holy name. We thank you for your love for us. Thank you that you're concerned for each and every one of us, that it is by divine purpose and assignment that you have brought us here. And indeed, it is you that sends, it is you that calls, it is you that sends. It is you that has brought us to your presence, O God. And I pray that we be just vessels that you can use for your glory. May I decrease and you increase, O God. May you speak through me, O God, and I pray that, Lord, you open up the eyes of our understanding, the ears of our inner man to hear the communications that you want us to understand. I pray that this word shall take root in us, and that, Lord, we shall be built up and rooted firmly in Christ, and that indeed we shall know why you put us on the earth, and we shall know that you have a destiny for each and every one of us. I pray all this trusting and believing in Jesus' name. Amen. For those we have not met, my name is Emmanuel Soma. I love the Lord as my personal Savior. I'm born again. I'm married to one wife. God has blessed us with a daughter. And I'm happy and blessed to be before you. I serve God in... I work in Bangladesh. And... God, by the grace of God, God is also helping us there. And we're having a small ministry that God has started there. And by the help of God, it continues to grow. And there being a Muslim country, we meet on Fridays. So their church is Friday. And Sunday is a working day. So a time like now, we'll have been in the office. Yeah, just, but that is the difference that when you go to a different context, you realize that there's something that God has been preparing you all these years to do. Amen? And one of the things that you will have to understand about God is that God needs men. And God has established his purpose on the earth. And the purposes of God are established by sent men. And today our topic is going to be to understand who is a sent man and to understand some things that God wants us to understand about being sent of God. Amen? Forgive me for my voice. It is trying to come back. Because... I was preaching in the overnight, and then today morning I was also preaching in Agape Church. And I believe that God will also give the grace today. Amen. So, you see, when God made the earth, he did not send angels to live on earth. If he had wanted the earth to be made by angels, he would have established angels to be on the earth. True or false? But the Bible says that let us make man in our own image and likeness, and let them have dominion over every created thing. So from the beginning, we see that God wanted to reveal a dimension of him, the physical dimension, through man. So the Bible says in the beginning he made the heavens and the earth. That means that he made a spiritual dimension, but he also made a physical dimension. And the physical dimension is the earth. And the Bible says from one man he made all men that they should inhabit the earth. So God just made one man, Adam. And when he needed to make a woman, he went back to that same man and removed Eve. And then he says, from these two, they multiplied. And for each and every one of us, he had determined the exact time and places where each of us is to be born. Every habitation, every place that you exist, God knows why you are born in South Sudan in the 80s, some of you were born in the 90s, some of you were born in the 2000s. I don't know if anyone here was born in the 70s. Yes, there are some I can see. But God determined the exact time where you shall be born. So it's not an accident that you were born in South Sudan, or you were born in Kenya, or you were born in Uganda, or you were born in Egypt, or maybe you were born in America. There is a determined purpose that God made each and every man. The Bible says that it was God's desire that men should find him, though he is not far away from them. God's desire was that each and every man that comes on the earth encounters him, and then that they fulfill the purposes of God on the earth. So God has a definite purpose for each and every human being on the earth. Amen? Tell yourself, God has a purpose for me. God has a purpose for me. So no human being is an accident. You might be born maybe because of a mistake of your parents. You might be born maybe because of rape. You might be born, maybe you are planned by your parents. You might be born maybe out of wedlock, but every child that appears on the earth was sent with a purpose. The Bible tells Jeremiah, that before I formed you, I knew you. Before I placed you in your mother's womb, I knew you, and I sanctified you. I ordained you to be a prophet unto the nations. Now, someone might say that, oh, that is just because he's a prophet. But you see, when you go to Psalms, it says that when I formed you, when I knit you together in your mother's womb, I saw you. So every day of our lives, all the days of our lives were written in God's book before a single one of them came to be. So we see that God has established the earth for men. In Psalms 115 verse 16, the Bible tells us that the highest heavens are the Lord's, but the earth he has given to the children of men. So anyone that is not a man is actually illegal on the earth. That is why when God wanted to save man, he had to come in the form of a man. He came born of a woman. He had to take on our flesh. For him to be able to save us, to pay a price for us, he had to come in the form of a man. And that is why any spiritual activity on the earth is established by men. So whenever you find witchcraft, it is because there are men who have opened up portals, they have opened up altars that have allowed those spirits to operate on the earth. When you find someone is possessed by demons, they have opened up a door by which the spirits can manifest on the earth and can influence the earth. Likewise also, for God to use men, each and every one of us, we must have allowed the Holy Spirit to come and live inside of us. And then God fulfills his purposes on the earth. Now, when you look at Isaiah, in Isaiah chapter 6, the Bible tells us that in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. And you see, Isaiah was a prophet. But when he happened to go to heaven, he realized that God was asking, whom shall I send? Now, I can imagine in that time there were many prophets on the earth. Even he himself was a prophet. But heaven was still asking, whom shall I send? That means that there are many people who God has called. There are many people who are born again. There are many people who God has filled them with his spirit. But there are very few that God is ready to send or God sends. Jesus had very many disciples. In fact, there was a crowd that followed Jesus. But then the Bible says that he chose 12 to be with him. And these 12, that they might be with him, they should be with him, and that he might send them. So, the first desire of Jesus when he called the 12 is that they must first be with him. Now, anyone that has been sent has first been with Jesus. There is no one that God sends unless you send yourself. You know, you can decide you send yourself, true or false. And there are many people who send themselves. That is why you find they have started a ministry. After 2 years, they say they have closed it. You ask, but you said God called you. God told you to open a church, true or false. We contributed. We bought some speakers. But after 2 years, you say the place is hard. You say, man of God, you know, I think I did not hear correctly. But when you are coming, you are very sure that I heard the voice of God. True or false? They say, God has sent me. I am anointed for the nations. And then when you go to that new nation, you say, I did not know they had strong witchcraft here. So, we see that there is a scarcity of men that have grown to the stature that God can send. In Ezekiel chapter 22 verse 30, the Bible says that I sought for a man among them who will build up the wall and stand in the gap before me for the land so that I will not destroy it. But I found no one. God is still looking for men that he can send. He says, I sought for a man who will build up the hedge, who will build up the wall and stand in the gap before me for the land so that I will not destroy it. But I found no one. In 2 Chronicles chapter 16 verse 9, it says, for the eyes of the Lord move about on all the earth to strengthen the heart of the one who is completely devoted towards him. God's eyes are moving to and fro, looking for someone whose heart is fully committed to God, that he might strengthen them. But you see, God's purposes will never be defeated by men who are not willing to go. When you refuse to go, God raises another. God is not limited in the men that he is raising. In fact, this room can be full of anointed men. God can anoint each and every one of you. Until when you meet, the Bible says that when you meet, let one of you have a song. One of you have a prophecy. One of you have a vision. But when you start to speak, go in order. Why? Because God is not limited in capacity to anoint each and every one of you. That there is not only one anointed man. Many times we think that God only chooses pastors or God only chooses apostles. But you see, God is able to send any man that avails himself to be used of God. He says that in a large house there are vessels of many kinds. There are vessels of gold. There are vessels of silver. There are vessels of clay. There are vessels of wood. But if a vessel makes itself clean, it shall be useful for the master for every good work. The Bible tells us that we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for each and every one of us to do. So when I'm talking about sent men, I don't want you to start thinking of apostles. I want to start you to picture yourself as a sent man in this generation, as a sent man to your family, as a sent man to your workplace, as a sent man in the marketplace, as a sent man in your clan, as a sent man in South Sudan, and also as a sent man in the nations of the world. God is looking for men who will say, "Yes, here I am, send me." And this is what Isaiah discovered. He realized that he was a prophet, but he had only had 6 chapters. But then when he said, "Here I am, send me," he now was translated to another level where he became what we call a messianic prophet. In that, he is one of the prophets that has the most prophecies concerning the Messiah. Accurate prophecies concerning the Messiah. So that means that there is a moment when you say, "Yes, here I am, send me," there is something extra that is added to you. There is a grace that God pours on the vessel that is ready to be used. Salvation is free. It's available to all. But assignments are not given to everyone. God wanted to give Peter the assignment of the Gentiles. He gave him a vision. He showed him all the animals. And he said, "Not so, Lord." It came 3 times. And he said, "Not so, Lord." And God tells him each time, "Don't call what is clean unclean." And because he said, "Not so, Lord," 3 times, God said, "Okay, let me find another chosen vessel." Then he goes and looks for the persecutor. He looks for the one who all of you think that will never be a vessel God can use. And that is why Paul himself says that I consider myself abnormally born, one born out of time, but I have seen Jesus. That means that for you to be a sent man, you must have encountered Jesus. And I'm not talking about specifically visions, because you might be limited to the visions of the eyes. But you see, the Bible says that we have a more sure prophetic word that you will do well to take heed. Peter said that, "Yes, we were there on the mountain. We saw when he was transfigured before our eyes. But we have a more sure prophetic word, which is the word of God." But as you read these scriptures, you start to see Christ. That is why anyone who has not seen Christ, he is still carrying a veil. Because Jesus said, the Bible says that when he was walking with the 2 disciples, he opened up the scriptures and showed them how the laws and the scriptures testified of him. So each time even you look at the Old Testament, you must see Christ.
Because if you don't see Christ, it shows that you are still veiled. Because the scriptures speak about Christ. When you see Isaac being taken to be sacrificed by his father, that is a symbol of Christ.
And God said, now I know that you will give me everything. But you see, God is the one who now gave us everything when he gave his own son.
Now, unless your eyes are open, you cannot see Christ in that.
Abraham meets Melchizedek, and the Bible says that he has no father or mother, no origin, no beginning, like the king, without end or days. And the Bible says he brought out bread and wine. That is Christ. Because Christ is the one on the Last Supper. He brought out what? Bread and wine. And he blessed Abraham.
And Abraham gave a tithe. He gave a tenth of everything that he had gotten.
So, you need to see Christ. And if you don't see Christ, you need to ask God, God, open my eyes.
Pray for the spirit of wisdom and revelation. That God will open your eyes that you shall see him. So because anyone that is to be sent has met Christ, has encountered Christ, has seen Christ in the scriptures, and knows him. Because who can you speak of when you don't know? A sent man is an ambassador. A sent man is a servant. You are a representative of the person who has sent you. Now, how can you represent the person you do not know?
When you encounter a Jehovah's Witness, you say, hey, that one I don't know.
When you encounter a Muslim, you say,
hey, I did not go for that syllabus. I am not going to Bible school.
It is because you don't know the Savior. You have not yet spent time with him, growing in him, that he is able to say, now I can send you. Because the Bible, we can see that God is in need of men that can be sent. He says, I sent a bird of prey. From the east I summon a bird of prey. From a far off land, a man to fulfill my purpose. What I have said, that I will bring about. What I have planned, that I will do. Isaiah 46 verse 11. God says that his purposes will stand. That means that if you refuse to do God's purposes, God will raise someone else. When Saul disobeyed God, and someone was mourning for Saul, God said that, how long will you cry for Saul and I have rejected him? I have found for myself a man after my own heart who shall do what I will ask him to do. So don't think of yourself so highly that if you refuse to go, God will be thwarted by it. God's purposes will be thwarted. No. God will use anyone that says, here I am. Send me. You see, the way we think of being sent, we think that it is only when you are given a message you go, or when you are given a specific direction. How was Joseph sent?
Joseph was sent by, he was sent when he was bound.
He was sent when he was sold, betrayed by his own brothers. But the Bible says that, let us read Psalms 105 verse 17. Psalms 105, it says that he sent a man before them, even Joseph. To us, we saw that Joseph was sent, was sold as a slave. But God was sending him to Egypt ahead of them. So, there are different means that God can send you. You might be thinking that just because you are chased away from your home, it means that God cannot use you. But you see, God can use rejection and make it into a direction in which he is sending you. Just because you lost your job does not mean that you are useless. But it is God who feels that you have fulfilled your assignment in this place. And since you are delaying to move, he can create some fire like he created persecution for the disciples were enjoying time in Jerusalem. They were, the church was growing. They were eating every day. They were meeting in their homes. They were being encouraged daily. But God creates persecution so that they can move. And the Bible says that the believers, as they were scattered, they preached the word everywhere they went. So the sending of God comes in various forms. But God is still looking for sent men. He says he sent a man before them, even Joseph, who was sold for a servant, whose feet they hacked with fetters. He was laid in iron until the time that his word came. The word of the Lord tried him. The king sent and loosed him, even the ruler of the people. Let him go free. He made him lord of his house and ruler of all his substance, to bind his princes at his pleasure and to teach his senators wisdom. There are challenges that need sent men. A whole nation was in Israel, was in Egypt, and they were crying to God, save us. And then God sends a man. He identifies him from when he was a child. He trains him in the house of Pharaoh, so that he can know all the wisdom of Pharaoh of Egypt. The Bible says that Moses was mighty in speech and all the wisdom of Egypt. He was trained in it. But the Bible says that when he became of age, he decided not to enjoy the pleasures of Egypt, but to suffer with the children of Israel, because he saw who was invisible. So when Moses was 40, he realized that God had called him for a purpose as a deliverer of his people. But you see, at that point, he was still not yet ready to be sent, because he thought it was by his flesh. He thought it was by his human effort that he can kill the Egyptian and he can rescue them. And God said, no, that's not how I do it. Because it's not by might, it's not by power, but it is by my spirit. And so when he exercised his flesh, God said, go back to the wilderness for 40 years. So what he was supposed to do when he was 40, he has to do it when he's 80. Why? Because he was not yet ready. God can delay his purpose until you are ready. Now, the reason you have not yet reached the manifestation that you're looking for is not dependent on God. It's dependent on you. Because to God, the Bible says, his works were finished from the creation. When he says that, before I formed you, I knew you. I ordained you. I sanctified you. I cleansed you. That means that we are predestinated in Christ. That means each and every one of us has a unique purpose aligned to the kingdom of God. That to God, he's just coming to check after 10 years. Are you on course? Or you're still chasing girls? He comes after 20 years. Are you on course? Or you're still enjoying food? You say fasting. Man, I can't fast. He comes after 30 years. He says, are you on course? He finds you marrying another wife. Says, now this one. Then he comes when you're 40. He says, you know, I'm still waiting for you. Because the Bible says God is slow to anger, abounding in love. He's still patient because he does not want any man to perish. Even those people who you thought they got pregnant, God is still waiting for them. He's still saying, when will this girl come back? When will she realize that my purposes are not determined by what men think of her? If God was to judge Saul or Paul, he says, if I'm to judge myself, I consider myself the worst of sinners, the chief of sinners. God is in need of sent men. His purposes are fulfilled by sent men. So he tells Moses,
Come, now I will send you to rescue, to bring the people out of Egypt. And Moses asks, who am I that should go? I tell you, when God gives you an assignment, the reality it will be too big for you. That's one way you'll know that it's an assignment from God. It is too big. That Moses says, but Lord, how?
You can imagine. How can I speak to Pharaoh?
And God asks him, who makes, who gives man his speech? Who makes the mouth? And he says, I give you this token. I will give you my name. I am who I am.
That means that whatever that you need me to be, I will be for you. You see, you encounter God based on your level of knowledge and revelation of him. There are many people who will never see God as a healer because they don't know him as a healer. There are many people who don't know the all-sufficient God, El Shaddai. That means they walk in lack. That's why Ecclesiastes says that I have seen a restless evil under the sun. That princes are walking on foot, while slaves are riding on horsebacks. That means the sons of the kingdom, they don't know the inheritance that God has for them. And the Bible says that the son, even though he is an heir of all things, even if he owns all things, he is not different from a slave. So, until you grow to become a son, there are things that God cannot commit to you. There are responsibilities that don't come because of grace. They come because of your maturity and your stature. That's why he said, for to us a child is born, but to us a son is given. That means that sons come from the place where they have grown to be given responsibility. God is ready to send sons, not children. Because when children go to cast out devils, the devils come on them. That is why you find there are many mad people. And some of them are mad pastors. Because they were not ready. They were not trained. They thought they are like the sons of Sceva. It is just saying, in the name of Jesus, come out. They don't know that there is a place where they say, Peter, Paul, Jesus, I know. Paul, I know. But who are you? And seven sons were beaten until they became naked and ran out naked. One man with a demon. Whom shall I send? God is looking for sent men. You see, when you are with Jesus, it is a place where he teaches you his voice. Sent men must first have encountered God. They must first have stayed with him. And in that staying with him, they are trained by him. As I said, many are called, but few are chosen. The call is available for each and every one of us. God has availed the call for each and every one of us. He says, come to the waters and drink. Each and every one of us has an opportunity to come to God, to receive from God, to be given an assignment. As I say, it is you that determines how fast you progress in the school of the Spirit. Mark chapter 3, verse 14 to 15. It says, Mark chapter 3, verse 14 to 15, and he ordained 12 that they should be with him, that he might send them forth to preach and to have power to heal sicknesses and to cast out devils. If you want to be used of God, you need to sit under his teaching. The Bible says that God showed forth his acts to the children of Israel, but to Moses, he showed them his ways. That means they are ways of God. They are things that, they are secrets that God has to reveal to you. There is no one who is doing something mighty in the kingdom of God that does not have a secret with God. He says that the secret things belong to God, but the things revealed are for us and our children. There is a revelation that you need to catch in the word of God that will be the basis for the ministry that God is going to use you for. Every man that has been used mightily by God, there is something that they discovered about God. That it was not just what they had, but it is something that they meditated until it came alive in them. That they realized that God is going to use them. Unless you spend time with God, unless you are taught by him, unless you learn to hear his voice, how else will you know to go forward? How else will you distinguish between the voice of God or the voice of evil spirits? And that is why you find someone saying, I had God. And he comes and tells a woman, oh, God told me that you will be my wife. And the woman says, okay, but first let me go and ask my husband. Now, was that God speaking or that was his lust speaking? So not everyone that says God spoke actually heard from God. And God must give you the discernment to be able to discern truth from evil, right from wrong. Now, if you're not yet able to discern, how will you be able to distinguish the attitudes of men? How will you be able to draw out from the deep wells that are men? That a man can tell you, funnel, and yet he has poisoned you. Do you know when God has told you not to go? How many of you, us here, know when God is warning them not to go somewhere? Okay. I see a few. You need to know how to hear the voice of God. That when you enter a house, and you can know that I'm in the wrong place, I need to leave. Now that knowing of the voice of God does not just come because God will just speak like that. But when you have spent time with your friend, then you are able to distinguish and know the voice of God. He says that the secret things, God does not do anything without revealing his plan first to his servants, the prophets. You want to do mighty things? Have you learned to hear his voice? How do you hear his voice? Faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. There's a comma there. It tells you that you learn to hear the voice of God when you are by the word of God. That means that each day as you read the word of God, the Bible says we are beholding as in a mirror, we are being transformed into the very image of Christ. Image of God. We are being transfigured through that ever increasing glory. That each day as we sit by the word of God, then we learn to hear his voice. Our spirits become attuned that we learn to know and distinguish the voice of God. So we want to be sent, but we don't know how to distinguish the voice of God. That is why people go to prayer mountains. And when they come from there, they start saying, now God has told me from now onwards I should not be wearing a shirt. Is that the voice of God? They go to prayer mountains and then they say, from now onwards, God has told me to quit school. Did they hear the voice of God, or they heard the voice of a familiar spirit? So, you can be praying and praying and praying, but if you are not sitting by the word of God, you will not be able to distinguish the voice of God. Because the Bible says that the word of God is sharper than any double-edged sword, dividing bone, marrow, and spirit. So that means for us to be able to discern the spirit, to be able to distinguish this is the voice of God and this is the voice of a false prophet, we can only know it by the word of God. That is why not everyone that starts to preach to you is preaching from God. Unless you have learned to distinguish the spirit, to distinguish that this is the voice of God, then you could easily be connected to wrong altars. Sent men must have first encountered God. They have stayed with him and they have been trained by him. It is a place of training that we become mature. The Bible says, consider it pure joy when you face trials and testings of many kinds, James chapter 1 verse 4, because the testing of your faith develops perseverance, and perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. You see, when Jesus sent his disciples, he asked them, when I sent you, did you lack anything? I sent you without bag. I sent you without food. I sent you without money bag. I sent you without change of clothes. Did you lack anything? They said, we lacked nothing. Why? Because when God sends you, he ensures that he has provided for you. He has matured you that when you are going there, you are not looking for what people will give you. The reason we preach to you is not because of your offering. You can give your money. But the reason we ask you to give your offering is because we know when you give, the Bible says, give and it shall come back to you, pressed down, shaken together and running over, shall men give to your lap. That means that the reason we teach you to give, the reason we give you, teach you to give your tithe, is because we know that there are principles that God has established in his word that are for your blessing. The reason you come for youth ministry is such that you can translate the blessings that God has already given for you in the spirit, that they can be made manifest on the earth. When Ephesians 1 verse 3 says that, praise be the Lord God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. But then you will have to ask yourself, how can those blessings that are in heavenly places be translated to me on the earth? Because someone will say, yes, you tell me I am blessed, but I don't see like I am blessed. I don't feel like I am blessed. I don't have fees. I don't have food. But you see, God's word is not a lie. What he has spoken is the truth. It shall come to pass. So it is, the question is, you need to spend time by God and ask him, God, what is it that I still lack that is preventing me from receiving the manifestation of the blessing that you have for me? That is why God desires that everyone that he accepts as a son, he takes through discipline. There is no sent man who does not have scars of where God has cut him, of where God has pruned him, of where God has tested him, of where God has taken him through a wilderness experience, because it is in that wilderness experience that God removes the excesses in our lives. He removes and he makes us more fruitful. He says every fruit, every plant that bears fruit, he prunes it so that he can make it more fruitful. So each and every time we go in our lives, there are things that God does to discipline us, to take away pride from us, to take away lust from us, to take away selfish ambition from us. He at times breaks us so that he can mold us into a vessel that he can use. A sent man is actually a broken man. That means that when God lifts you up, he can see that there is nothing in you that can represent yourself. Because you are his messenger. You are his ambassador. That means that when you speak, you are speaking what he asked you to speak. Not your own opinions. And that is why you can find many men, they say they speak for God. But after some time, they tell you, oh, you know, I don't have fuel. The man of God needs a private jet. Because they have a gift. They have a gift they can teach. They have a gift they can prophesy. But you see, they turn that gift into a money-making venture. Because nowadays they tell you, you must monetize your gift. Yet Christ says, freely you have received, freely give. Go to every house. Look for a man of peace. If he welcomes you, don't leave him. Stay there. Discharge all your duties there. Whatever he gives you to eat, eat. When you're leaving, leave your blessing on that house. But when you go to a house and they don't welcome you, just say thank you. That's the dust off your feet. To you, you have done your duty. Amen. Our job is to go. Our job is to speak the word. Our job is to communicate the message of Christ. Sent men have been trained by him. And the training of God is discipline. That is why when Jesus, before Jesus, you know, you can see how even God shows us the example through Jesus. He fills him with the Spirit, Holy Spirit. And then he takes him to the wilderness. And for 40 days, the Bible says he was tempted of the devil. We always think that there were only three temptations. But if you read the scriptures, it says for 40 days he was tempted of the devil. That means apart from the many other temptations, there were three major ones that were recorded at the end. And he said, food. If you have not yet conquered your stomach, you are still not yet ready to be sent. Amen. That you are fasting, and then you just see some nice meat cooking on the way. You say, God, go tomorrow. Am I communicating?
Yes.
Or you go for funeral and you say, okay. Let me break early. Food! The last of the flesh. The last of the eyes. And the pride of life. And that is where Adam failed. Food. So the second Adam, or the last Adam, had to come and go through the same tests that Adam failed, so that when he passes them, he can qualify to be our Redeemer. You will be tested in your appetites. Some have too much appetite for food. Others have too much appetite for sex. Others have too much appetite to be praised by men. You want, after you have preached, they say, man of God, that was a song, man. Hey, you're anointed. You are looking for the praise of men. Yes, Jesus himself said that he could not commit himself to men because he knew the hearts of men. One day they were saying, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And within the same week, they were saying, crucify. They said, give us the thief. Give us Barabbas. Hey! The same people. So, in the place of training, then God gives you a message. And Jesus came, he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me.
because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he said, today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Yes, you want to be saved, but what message has God given you? Specific message that God has given you, that this is what I have called you to do. I have called you to make all men see. Kenneth Hagin, he went to Romans 10 and he found that the word of faith is near your mouth. That word is near your mouth. The word that you speak, the word of faith, that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, and if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that you shall be saved. And God told him, I have given you the word of faith, and that word is in your mouth. And so he started to speak, be healed, and people were healed. But you see, that message did not just come out of casual reading of the word, but it came as he meditated on the word. Then God lifted the word and translated that word and made it flesh, and it became you, the message. When you are sick, you are the message first. The prophets were told, who was it? He was told, go and marry an adulterous woman. Hosea. Go and marry a prostitute. Aye. You say your children are for signs and wonders. Okay, this is the sign. You are a sign. Jeremiah was told. Was it Jeremiah? He said, for this number of days, sleep on your right side. After this, sleep on your left side. And then in this time, I need you to cook your food with human feces. He said, ah, Lord, I have never touched anything at all. Okay, he said, okay, you can use cow dung to cook. You're thinking methane gas was discovered by scientists. It's there in the Bible. The guy was told, it is you are a sign that the Israelites, for this number of years, they are going to be under tension, they are going to be in exile, that they will even desire to eat their own feces. You want to be a sent man? Are you ready to be a sign? That is why sent men are not many. Many are called, but few are chosen. Because when God says, go, Bible says many were killed. And God can be watching. Someone was asking, but James was killed. Where was God? He was relaxed. He said, that is my sent man. If he dies, he comes to me. When Stephen was being killed, the Bible says his face became like an angel. And everyone was looking at him. That means even before, as he started to preach, he started to become transfigured before them. That means that heaven was already receiving him. They were saying, the general is coming, let us stand. That's why he said, behold, I see the Son of Man standing at the right hand of the Father. Specific message. Specific instructions. Jesus in Matthew 15 verse 24, he says, I was only sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Matthew 15:24. That means that Jesus could have said, I am the Son of God. Let me go and preach to the Gentiles. No. He said, he told the woman, the Canaanite woman wants her child to be healed. No. I was not sent to you. I was only sent to the lost sheep of Israel. Until the woman has to evoke faith and say, even the dogs
eat from the crumbs that fall from the master's table. And Jesus said, I have not seen such great faith in Israel. And said, go, your child is healed. Jesus, in all his glory, he was limited to the lost sheep of Israel. And for the apostles, he tells them, you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. That means that when you are ready to be sent, God will give you a specific place. Now some people will say, why is God only not calling me to Canada? He's only calling me to DRC Congo. There is Ebola. There is M-Pox. M24. And they say, no, I'm not going. Even when you tell your men of God, they say, go and pray again. They tell you, go and pray. So God can only call you to be in Juba, but he cannot call you to go to Kapweta. Is it the same God? Specific. That's why God is limited in the number of men he can send. Because not many are able to pay the price. You have to count the cost. He says if anyone wants to build a building, he has to sit down first and calculate how much it will cost. And that's why he says, I have come to set a sword between father and mother, husband and wife. A time will come as a set man, you'll have to say, I have left my wife. I have left my children. There's this, I think, South American evangelist. He got saved, I think it was in a Benny Hinn crusade. And he got sent him to South America to one of these serious drug lords. And Benny Hinn told him, but you know you're going to die. He was told, the owner of this belt, when he goes to Jerusalem, they are going to tell him, and this is a prophet, Agabus, telling him clearly, the owner of this belt. And he says, you know, what you're telling me is not new. The Holy Spirit has borne me witness that in every town I go, I will be beaten, persecuted, tortured. But he said, but I am going. He said, I must testify in Jerusalem and I must also go to Rome. Sentiment. That is why in heaven we will not all be the same. How can you be the same like David Livingstone? The man came with his wife and his child to East Africa. The wife and the child die of malaria. And the man says, I came on mission. He continues. How will you be the same? When Peter said, we have left everything. They left their boats. They left their businesses. They left their shopping. They left their wealth. They lost family. Fathers, mothers, children, lands, houses. And he asked, Lord, what will we get? That's why sent men are not many. That's why heaven was still asking, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? You can see why it was a question in heaven. Whom shall I send? Who shall go for us? You want to go
ask God for the message. And before you speak the message, ask God to manifest the message in your life. That you become a living epistle that the world can read. That Paul was saying, some of you want letters of recommendation. But you guys are my own letters of recommendation. Because you are written not by pen, but you are written by the Spirit. Can men read you and see a written testimony of your life? That this is a man who is sent by God. This is a man who loves God. And this is a man who shows us how it is to walk after God. Yes, you have been appointed a leader, but are you still a servant? Are you sent? Yes, you may not be a leader, but are you a message to your generation? It is not the titles that make us sent, man. Whether you call yourself bombastic, apostolistic, evangelistic, prophetic. Nowadays, there are many titles. But the Bible says we shall know them by their fruit. Sent men are given the power and authority to fulfill the mission. You see, these two words are different. Power and authority is different. Power is the force to do work. Dunamis. Authority, the Greek word there is exousia. And that means influence or license. That means that everything is permissible, but not everything is given for you to do. You might think you are more anointed than your senior pastor, but it is not given to you the license to correct. No. Anyone that is sent is a man under authority. Jesus said, the centurion said, I myself, I am a man under authority. I tell this one, go, and he goes. This one, come, and he comes. Unless you have learned the place of authority, you're not yet ready to be sent. I'm not here to discourage you. But I'm here to give you a hunger. A hunger to seek after the face of God. Don't be in a hurry to come out. Don't be in a hurry to start YouTube. Don't be in a hurry to preach. Spend time with God. Because David was anointed when he was 17. He became king when he was 40. You thought he would have been anointed king and become king immediately. He was called when he was 17. Anointed when he was 17. Set apart when he was 17. But he becomes king. Years later. Why? Because there is a gap between the calling and the sending. And this is a process you cannot rush. It's like you are baking food. If you take it too out early, if you are trying to bake bread, if you bring it out too early, what do you find? It is uncooked. If you delay, what happens? It burns. If you don't turn it the right side and the left side, what happens? It becomes burnt on one side. The Bible says Ephraim is a bread half cooked, burnt on one side. That means that God needs you to be balanced. You need to be balanced. Some people are crying, send me to the nations. Ask of the nations. And I will give you the nations for your head. Ask and I'll give the nations to you. Oh Lord. And you find people crying. Give me Canada. Give me Germany. And then you go there, and then you find ladies are dressed half naked. You start saying,
Man of God, man of God, what do I do? You've not yet died to flesh. And that is where you find men of God are being seduced, because that part of them never died before they left. Jesus said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go. He said, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you authority. I give you power to trample over snakes and scorpions and over every power of the evil one. Until you get to a point where you realize that that power has been given to you, and it is not just because you are quoting the scripture, because even demons can quote scriptures and they know them more than you. Devil worshippers can quote scriptures more than you. Muslims can quote scriptures more than you. But that word is not yet a revelation. That word has not yet become flesh to them. So he said, I saw Satan fall from heaven. Behold, I give you power to trample over snakes and scorpions. When you are sent, you're given power. Because this is a kingdom, it's a battle. There are battles, there are forces. The Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of this dark age. For you to go and deal with the powers and principalities, you must have received the revelation that you are not fighting them. You are already seated with Christ. Amen. In heavenly places, far above. Now, anyone who goes to cast out devils without knowing their authority will start be looking at them, will first be looking at themselves, oh, have I fasted? Say, ah, me, I'm not ready. But you see, when God has given you the power, the authority, it is by revelation. Paul says that this gospel that I preach to you was not taught to me by men, but it was given to me by revelation. You want to go? Spend time with God. Seek God. Separate yourself. Sent men are men who have learned to separate themselves. The Bible says when John the Baptist was born, he went to the wilderness. The man ate locusts and honey until the word of the Lord came to him. And he says that the one who sent me told me that the man on whom I see the Spirit come and stay upon is the one who shall baptize you with the Holy Spirit. So when John was coming to baptize, he had instructions. He was not just preaching. He was preaching, but his eyes were open. He was, as he baptizes someone, he waits to see. Is the heavens open? Is there the Holy Spirit coming? Until the one who was his own cousin, he must have been playing with Jesus and saying, hey, kuzo, niache, kuzo, kevya. Until that day, when the Spirit came and descended on him, he said, oh, that is the one. Yes, I'm older than him, but I am unworthy to untie his sandals. That's why Paul says that we now know no man after the flesh. Because we knew Jesus after the flesh. That is why James does not say, I'm even a brother of Jesus. He says, I am a servant of Jesus. Yet he is the half-brother of Jesus. Jude comes, he says, I am not even a brother of Jesus. I am a brother of James. It gets to a point where they are no longer seeing Jesus as the Jesus they played with. They realize this was and this is the glorified Son of God. Sent men will face opposition. The Bible says, do not worry when they bring you before kings Do not even contemplate beforehand what you should say. Because at that point, you shall be taught what to say. Right now, as I speak to you, a lot of what I'm preaching to you is not from my notes. As I'm preaching to you, I am being taught what to say. Because at this point, it is not I speaking, but it is the Holy Spirit speaking through me. Because He knows the needs of each and every man. And that is why when Philip met the Ethiopian eunuch, he said, starting from where he was reading from, he explained to him the scriptures. Certain men have the ability to find any man wherever he is in his understanding of God. You might meet someone who believes in 1,000 gods, and you have to bring him first to believe in one God, then to believe in Jesus. Then you meet someone who does not believe in God. You need to bring him and bring him from that place of not believing in God to the place of believing in God. You meet someone who, yes, is a Christian, but he's a carnal Christian. And you need to bring him from that place of carnality to the place of maturity. And then you can also find that mature Christian, and you need to give him direction that he is more efficient, more fruitful in his area of calling. God is looking for sent men. Let us read our final scripture. 2 Timothy. Second Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. I'll read from verse 3. It says, join with me in suffering like a good soldier of Christ. No one serving as a soldier gets entangled in civilian affairs, but rather tries to please his commanding officer. Similarly, anyone that competes as an athlete, anyone that strives for mastery, does not receive the victor's crown except by competing according to the rules. Verse 6, the hard-working farmer should be the first to receive a share of the crops. Reflect, meditate on what I am saying, for the Lord will give you insight into all this. A sent man can be likened to a soldier. Soldiers know authority. They know command. Soldiers are disciplined. Soldiers are courageous. Soldiers are trained. Soldiers separate themselves. They know they are not civilians. Sent men can be compared to athletes. They strive for mastery. Each and every time you are striving to know the word of God. You are striving to be deeper in prayer. You are striving to understand, to show yourself as a workman, approved unto God, rightly dividing the scriptures. Athletes compete according to the rules. You must know the limitations. You must know the rules. You must know the license. You must know the limitations within your liberty. Yes, you are free, but not everything is beneficial for you. Athletes run to win the prize. They run to win the crown. They say, what is his name? Usain Bolt said he trained for 4 years to run 9 seconds. He trained for 4 years to run 9 seconds. Why? Because he's running to win something small like this, which is called gold medal. But the Bible is telling us that we are not competing to win a crown that perishes. But there is a crown of life. That the Bible says that we fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the shame of the cross. And he won the prize for us. Likewise, athletes are men of endurance. They train. give up. Even if they are injured, you see someone is limping until he finishes the line. They, even if they are number last, they say, let me be number last, but I finished the race. That's why I say, fight the good fight of faith. An athlete fights for the crown. That's why we're told, fix our eyes on Jesus. A sent man is also likened to a hardworking farmer, because the farmer is one that understands the seed principle. Whatever you sow, you shall reap. If you sow to the flesh, you shall reap corruption. If you sow to the spirit, you shall reap eternal life. The farmer understands the labor of planting. He also understands the labor of harvesting. The farmer has to know the times and seasons. The Bible says that the sons of Issachar, who understood the times, knowing what Israel ought to do. When you are sent, you are like a farmer. You know the times and seasons. You know when your season in a place is over. You know when it's your season to plant. And yes, the farmer aims for the harvest. That's why Jesus said, behold, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Sent men are few. But he says, ask the Lord of the harvest that he shall send forth laborers into his harvest field. I want us to stand. I know I've taken much time, but I know you are young men, you are strong. Amen. And I want you to be stronger. Amen. Take a moment, open your mouth and speak to God. God is still looking for sent men. Still looking for sent men. Speak to God and say, God, I am here. If you can use anyone, you can use me. If you can use a broken man, you can use me. If you can use an addict, you can use me. If you can use someone who struggles with sexual sin, you can use me. If you can use a slave, you can use me. If you can use an uneducated person, you can use me. If you can use an adulterer, you can use me. If you can use a murderer, you can use me. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. There are many people God has called, but not many are ready to go. But God is saying, who can say, here I am, send me. Here I am, send me. Here I am, Lord, send me. Send me to my family. Send me to the nation. Send me to my workplace. Send me in JCC. Send me to the teenagers. Send me to the Sunday school. Send me to my church. Send me to the Catholics. Send me to the niggers. Send me. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. God is in need of sent men. God is looking for a sent man. Yes, you have received the Spirit. Yes, you are anointed. But maybe you are delaying in your growth. Ask God, grow me. The areas that are lacking in my life, help me to grow. Help me to see the areas that I still need to surrender to you. Ask God to show you the areas in your life that still need to be aligned to the will of God. Ask God to empower you. For you to be sent by God, you need the power of the Holy Spirit. He said you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit comes upon you. That means that there is another anointing that comes and brings the power. That you are asking God, release the power in my life. Show me how to work the power. Show me how to work in miracles. How do miracles come upon? God is looking for those who shall sit by him. Who shall be here? Who shall hear his voice? Who are asking God, I want to know your voice. I want to hear your voice. I want to be sent by you. I want to be a vessel that you can use. It looks like my story is you can use me. You can use me. You can use me, Lord. You can use me. You can use me, Lord. Use me, God. Use me, Lord. Ashakaraba sekere bakarabo sekere bakarase didi. Makarashakare barakaram sekere bayarase didi bo sharada se. Rikarada bashi didi kasan didi sharada se. Maybe some of us, it's our prayer life. God is calling us into a deeper place of prayer, into a deeper place of fellowship with Him. Maybe it is our study life that God needs to work on. There's a place that God wants us to grow in. Maybe it is in our giving life. We have not been faithful in giving. God wants us to grow, but He's still seeing that we are still selfish. Ask God to break those parts that need to be broken. Ask God to make you, to mold you into a vessel that He can use. Maybe you need sanctification. Ask God to cleanse your mind, to cleanse your heart, to cleanse your thoughts. Ask God to sanctify you. Maybe you have been playing with sin. Playing with sin, thinking that sin cannot catch you. Come back. Come back, I call you. I call you back, come back. Those that are in bondage, be set free in the name of Jesus. I speak deliverance to the captive. Everyone that is in bondage of masturbation, be set free. Every bondage of sickness, be set free. Every blindness of the eyes, every blindness of the spirit, eyes be opened in Jesus' name. Maybe there's a veil, you don't understand the scripture. May God open the eyes of your understanding. May God flood your eyes of your understanding with light. The light is the revelation of the gospel. The light that He showed on Jesus Christ when He anointed Him. Oh, how God anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost and in power. And He went about healing good, doing good, and healing all who are oppressed of the devil. I pray today that God shall find sent men here. That God shall raise sent men here. As a man, it doesn't matter your gender. In the spirit, God calls you a son. Creation has been groaning in eager expectation for the manifestation of the sons of God. Sent men are ready to be sent. Sent men stay under instruction. Sent men are obedient to the Spirit. The Bible says they that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. How can you be led by the Spirit of God if you don't know His voice? Ask God to teach you His ways. Ask God, teach me your ways, oh God. Teach me your ways. Teach me your ways, oh God. Holy Ghost, teach me your ways. Teach me your ways. Holy Ghost, teach me. Teach me your ways. Show me your truth, Lord. Show me your ways. Open my eyes. Let me understand you. Let me know you. I want more of you, Jesus. More of you and less of me. Some of us need to say more of you, Lord. Less of me. Let us die to our ways. Let us die to our own desires. Let us die to our own ambitions. Let us die. Except a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it abides alone. But when it dies, it bears much fruit. God is looking for dead men. Men that have died to the patterns of this world. verse says, therefore I urge you in view of God's mercies to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you shall be able to test and prove His good, pleasing, and perfect will. It is only when you renew your mind through the Word of God, it's only when you say you shall no longer conform to the pattern of this world, that you can start to discern the will of God, to know His purposes for your life. God is looking, and God is in need of men He can send.
I desire.
Favor and authority be with them. Bless them. Bless their going. Bless their coming. Bless their food. Bless the water. Those that are ready for the nation, send them. Those that are ready for assignments, give them. I pray that they may be found faithful. It is required that a steward be found faithful. I pray for those who are fulfilling their assignments, give them more strength. Even in the midst of opposition, honor them. Release your power, favor, and authority over them. Them that need to grow, I pray that you fast track their development. May your hand be with each and every one of us until another time when you shall give us to meet again. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray and believe.